Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Rear shot and driver.
Bye.
Really?
What?
That's the longest shaft you can have.
I've got like a 30-incher you can have.
Well,
if you
gave me a 30-incher. I have it.
Like they just have the penis.
What happened there?
Well, apparently they just have the penis.
I guess.
Like they just have the penis.
They do. They just have the penis.
Well, we party on. It is Thursday Club following up Souk's F-bomb from last night.
See if I can recreate that.
I've got Panther news right out of the gate here.
Carolina Panther news?
They are playing right now. And this does look like a Carolina Panther.
Yeah. Well, it's a Black Panther.
Black Panther from, yeah, the story starts a Florida man.
Can I tell you, when I first saw this story, remember, I was offered.
I thought of you.
I was offered this experience.
Yes.
At the, what was that? The Northwest Outdoor Show. I was offered this experience.
For free.
For free. Politely turned it down.
Because of your celebrity.
Yes. This minor local celebrity. I was offered this.
Yeah, but you thought about it.
You're damn right I thought about it. I showed up there. And then I decided that it was a terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, I instantly thought of you when I saw this. I'm like, oh my God, this is Souk.
Yeah, it could have been.
A Florida man was severely injured after he paid for a full contact experience with a black leopard in late August.
Good idea. Good idea.
Dwight Turner, 50-year-old man, he paid $150 to a man named Michael Pogge, who runs what he describes on Facebook as an animal sanctuary at his home.
Nothing at all shady about this. Hey, Rob, you want to come over to my place? I got a leopard in the back. $150. You do whatever you want with it. You had 20 minutes, no questions
whatever
asked.
Whatever I want?
Whatever you want.
During the August 31 leopard encounter, detectives say Turner paid to be able to play with it, rub its belly, and take pictures.
Great idea.
When he entered the backyard enclosure, however, the leopard attacked.
Dumbass.
Pretty unlucky.
No. I don't think luck had anything to do with this. I think this is more of a... Yeah, you had this one coming.
The big cat mauled Turner, tearing one of his ears in half and leaving his scalp hanging from his head. Turner has since undergone multiple surgeries, which shared according to WPLG, which shared a photo of the man's bandaged head.
Yeah, it's quite a scene. And when you say bandaged head, pretty much the entire thing is just wrapped like a mummy.
Authorities say Pogge, who was licensed to own the leopard. Boy.
Well, this was the thing with the Joe Exotic. It is shocking.
You can do that.
How easy it is and how cheap it is.
Just at your house.
Well, what was the... They were saying that the stupid... I can't say stupid. The tigers... like, you could buy a full-grown tiger from that... Who is the idiot that Joe Exotic sold the business to?
I don't remember.
It was like $1,000. Because once they were not little cubs anymore, or kittens, I don't know what the hell you call those things, they weren't worth anything because they were so much money to feed and care for that they sold them. Like, my dog costs more than that. And I just sat there and I was like, what do you mean for $700 or $800 you can buy a freaking full-grown tiger? You just throw that thing in your backyard. There's more tigers in people's homes in the United States than there are in the wild.
Yeah, well, that's sad.
Yes, it is. And I'm glad this dumbass got mauled.
So Pogge was allowed, or he was licensed to own the leopard. He was charged with allowing full contact with an extremely dangerous animal. That's a charge, I guess. They also issued a citation for maintaining captive wildlife in an unsafe condition.
Yeah, did you see some of the photos of, like, the enclosures?
Oh, yeah.
It literally, like, he just went in his backyard and threw up some chain link fences.
Yeah, but he made $150.
I guess. And I like that he's just throwing the ad, like, out on Craigslist.
So how many times do you think somebody paid that kind of money
before
to take a picture with a leopard or whatever before a mauling occurred? Do you think there have been many?
It had to be, right? Like, this can't be the first time he's done this.
That is bad luck if it's the first time.
If it's the first time, he's like, you know what? I really need... And by $150?
That's a lot.
That seems actually really cheap.
Oh, it's cheap?
Yeah, for $150?
I charge 25.
I would assume that rolling around with an exotic animal would be more than that. Holy cow. And by the way, it's perfect that this is in Florida.
Totally.
100%. It was years ago, we were at the Northwest Outdoorsman Show, or whatever that thing was called.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for multiple days. We were doing the show, and then they used to let us take on the road. And they had these big enclosures and these animals. And one of them, they had a big wolf, and the other one was a cougar. They had a big mountain lion in there. And one of the people that were running it was saying something. It was like, hey, you get like a behind the scenes tour sort of thing. You can get here before it opens. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. So I showed up the next day and the person was like, we can give you a behind the scenes sort of thing and you can go in and you can touch the animals. And I was like, are you kidding me? They had like a bear, they had a wolf, and they had a cougar, and I think they had some birds. And I was like, oh, that is so cool. And they're like, which one would you most like? And I said, well, can I do the cat? I mean, I was like, it was unbelievable. They had this majestic, awesome cougar in there. And the guy was like, yeah, he goes, it's not a big deal. He goes, she can be a little ornery sometimes. So, you know, he would just, you know, might kind of give me the P's and Q's of it. He goes to open up the gate to the thing. And as he goes to open it up, the cat does the lunge thing. And then the cougar, whatever that roar thing is, and takes a swipe at the cage. I had fear pee. I was like, what? And then the guy's trying to calm me down and be like, ah, it's fine. She's just a little worked up. Like, no, not fine. Not a little worked up. That thing is going to bite my face off.
You're lucky she warned you.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're Turner from Florida.
Well, the problem that I had with it is the bro who was in charge of it had no problem with it. He's like, what are you? I'm like, no, absolutely not. This is a terrible idea. And he's like, you sure? He's good. Cage open. He's fine. He's walking in there and he's got the little stick thing. And then he's like, oh, no, look at this. I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, we're not doing that. And he's like, well, you want to see one of the other ones? And like next to that was the wolf. And the wolf, before I even opened the cage, the wolf had his hair up on his back and was like bent over in the FU position. And all I thought was, how many jack wagons over the last 2 days have gone by, right? And either poked at this thing or rattled the cage or made some noise. I'm like, none of these animals want to be here. And they're just waiting for my big dumbass to have the nerve to walk in the cage, and they're going to get some payback. And I just couldn't believe it that the animal handler was just so nonchalant about it. He's like, yeah, it's not me. Get in there. No. Didn't go into the wolf den. Didn't go into the cougar cage. Didn't end up on the news with my face ripped off.
Almost did, though.
Well, my dumbass did show up. But
you were going to be this guy.
To be fair, if the guy tells you, hey, it's fine, and he supposedly is in charge, like in your head, you're like, oh, all right, well, this guy's in charge. But what you realize is this is not like a Steve Irwin, like zoo sort of thing. This is probably just some dude that has a like a fifth wheel, and he just hauls these animals around the country to these different shows.
Well, he's this guy from Florida.
He's this guy from Florida.
Because, you're right. He's like at the outdoor show.
Yeah.
Or the sportsman
the
show
sportsman
or something?
Show, whatever that thing was.
Man, you're lucky.
That was the very first thing I thought of. It was like, oh, you're going to rub and spell. You're going to play with it, are you? Guess not. I guess it's going to eat your face.
I would have laughed. I would have been. I would have felt bad for you.
After I got mauled?
Yeah, but hopefully you lived, and I would have laughed, but then felt bad.
Yeah.
Because, dude, come on. Even though he's the trainer guy or whatever, why? Answer that question.
There's no why.
What are you getting out of that?
I just thought it would be.
Is it a cool Instagram photo?
No, but there was no Instagram back then.
Well, I know. I'm talking about like just in general. Like, what is it that? Because that's what they talked about in Tiger King was people like to take photos with the little tigers because it's a cool. It looks good on Instagram or something. But
I love animals. I'll never get a chance to. I think it'd be amazing to. I understand the allure of. Of being that close to something that you shouldn't be that close to, right? Growing up in Alaska, I've seen 100 different bears, and I've never gone up and high-fived one because I don't want to die. Like, I mean, we see all these beautiful animals out there, but you give them their space, and so I guess there is that in the back of my mind. I was like, well, I don't know. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to, I don't know, to get to pet, like.
Yeah, but isn't there something in the back of your mind that's like, boy, it's not a good idea to be in a cage with a wild animal?
Yes, and that's why I backed out. But I am very thankful that the cougar had the wherewithal to tell me to go F myself.
He warned you.
It did.
And a couple people are texting in that, you know, it's just you.
Really?
Well, yeah, because your neighbors have the same reaction to you. Animals, neighbors, it doesn't matter. It's you. You are a problem.
Animals love me.
And people want to attack you.
Animals love me. Except for that animal. Well, and the wolf, too. Ooh. That was not a... And when I say, like, you're legitimately scared, that was not, like, one of those, like, oh, that was... I was legitimately terrified.
Was that bitch Carol Baskin behind it?
There's just a few moments in your life where you know what real... Like, how many times in your life do you really get scared? Right? There's a difference between like jump scares or, you know, you get startled. I will say that that is a top five legit fear moment I had where I was like, oh my God, this is going to go south. Every fiber in your being's like, turn around and run.
This text is right. That trainer guy is a carny with animals. No thanks.
Exactly. I thought he was like Jack Hanna. No, he wasn't. He's the same guy that sets up the Tilt-A-Whirl out at the county fairgrounds.
Up next is COVID risk low when flying. That when we return. It is 6:14 on the Fan.
Of judgment, handing down life lessons to all the sinners.
On 1080, the Fan.
Double Sun Power!
All right. Alrighty.
Just saw, by the way, a statement from Trevor Lawrence. He is saying that he has it and that he has symptoms, but they're fairly mild.
Okay.
So I think that probably eliminates maybe the false positive narrative. You know, that was with like the whole Saban thing.
You know what they're going to say now? Because the Notre Dame game is 10 days away.
Yeah.
And he has, or is 9 days away.
Yes, it's supposedly.
No, it's 10 days. Wait.
You have to isolate for 10 days.
And yes. And that game is 9 days
away. 9 days away.
So... they're going to say he tested positive yesterday. That's what they're going to say.
He says, I have tested positive for COVID-19 and my symptoms have been relatively mild. And while I'm following the protocol from Clemson and the ACC, the only thing that hurts is the missing opportunity to be with my teammates this weekend and play the game I love. Did you notice he said this weekend?
Hell yeah, he did.
He didn't mention anything about next weekend.
They're going to say he tested positive. Oh, it's actually Tuesday.
Yeah. Speed up that timeline. But yeah, some people were saying, you know, we're waiting for confirmation, but sounds like he does have some symptoms, although mild. So there you go. That's the latest from your future New York Jets quarterback.
With the demand for air travel still in a slump, the airline industry is promoting studies that suggest the risk of contracting the coronavirus while flying is low. Healthcare experts say the air filtration system in most commercial planes does help reduce the risk of being infected. They point out that the studies have limitations and the results are not all definitive.
Yeah, I saw that it was Boeing and like Delta and a couple people all got together and did their own non-scientific study.
Yes, they did.
And determined that flying is 100% safe.
New study reveals that the multiple layers of protection against COVID-19 make being on an airplane as safe, if not substantially safer, than other routine activities such as grocery shopping or going to a restaurant.
There you go.
Delta Airlines and two of the world's largest airline industry trade groups have promoted the recent studies.
I love when studies that seemingly go against what everyone thinks are conducted by people that really, really want the study to turn out a certain way. It's like when the tobacco industry was trying to find out if there were any negative effects to smoking. They spent three decades and couldn't find squat.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
I don't know what to tell you.
Still don't.
Yeah.
The volume of passengers flying on U.S.-based airlines is down 63% compared with the same time last year.
That's just brutal.
So, what are these studies that they are promoting? The most prominent study was conducted and sponsored by United Airlines, as you mentioned.
Nothing to see here.
Boeing and the U.S. Department of Defense. To see how the coronavirus might spread in a commercial jet, the study measured a fluorescent aerosol spray that was emitted from a mannequin placed in various seats.
Did you see the setup?
Oh, it's great.
It was horrifying.
Yeah.
It was like just this disembodied like torso and head. And they would just
and press, she starts coughing.
Yeah, would press a button, it would just spew things.
The mannequin was moved throughout the cabin of the planes with sensors installed in surrounding seats to measure how far the aerosol spray traveled. More than 300 tests were conducted with variables such as having the mannequin emit aerosol at different strengths to replicate breathing, speaking, or coughing. Tests were performed with and without the mannequin wearing a mask. The study concluded that the aerosol exposure risk is minimal even during long-duration flights. And the highest risk coming to those sitting in the same row as the mannequin. So don't sit next to the mannequin.
Wait, so you're saying that if I'm in the back of the airplane and the person with COVID is in the front, then I'm fine. But if the person sitting next to me has COVID, then I'm not fine. Question is, how do I know if the person sitting next to me has the COVID?
Well, if it's a mannequin, run.
I love that this whole study boils down to, yeah, you're at more of a risk if the person's next to you or right behind you.
Well, I also think that...
Yeah, thanks.
That's I'm no scientist.
And they're jamming planes full of people, so of course there's going to be someone next to you and behind you.
Okay, that's where I was going with it. Think about this. How is that possibly legit when compared to restaurants? When the mannequin... Okay, so just change it to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay, and the mannequin spits and coughs. It's COVID all over everyone. You're telling me, because you're more socially distanced in restaurants.
Yes.
You're packed in there like sardines in a plane. You're telling me it's safer in the plane because you're closer to the mannequin?
And how is
I don't buy that.
And how is it that every time I fly, I always seem to get sick, and yet, so something's contagious on airplanes, and yet somehow that's safer? Look, I understand that you can fly and you'll probably be okay. I've known people that have flied and they're not getting sick. But to come out and say that this is one of the safer things you can do as opposed to grocery shopping?
The other
and
thing they're saying...
Someone points out, too, is, yeah, how can someone fart on a plane and I can smell it for an hour?
Right.
But apparently this is not a thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, no way.
So the other thing, too, is people move around airplanes.
Yeah.
And so the airflow, you know, it's not just everybody's just sitting there with their masks on, you know, not moving like mannequins. We move.
No one move.
And so
now I have not flown since the, this whole thing started. You have. And you did say that people were pretty buttoned up, right?
Yeah.
On airplanes.
I mean, I didn't see any anti-maskers at all.
Yeah.
And people generally had their masks on the whole time.
Yeah. And people are trying to, they're not doing like the food service, right? And they're
Yeah, they're not doing that. Nobody really gets up and the flights that I was on, everybody just kind of sat there like stiff as a board, like I don't know what to do.
Like mannequins. Maybe United's onto something.
But I've always read that if you want, this is pre-COVID. Remember, we did this thing where there was the study about where to sit on an airplane if you want, if you don't want to get sick. If you always get sick when you travel and fly, here are some things you can do. One was sit away from the bathroom and sit in on a window seat, because people coming up and down the aisle are spreading crap right and left. The mannequins are always walking around.
Freaking mannequins.
Spreading the COVID or the flu or whatever. So you sit middle of the airplane, window, and don't get up.
Yeah, just stay put.
Just stay there and try not to touch things.
Yeah, because they said, right, it's like it's the row beside you and the row in front of you and the row behind you.
Yes.
Like, that's what you got to worry about.
That's right.
But again, I'd like to ask the question, how on earth do I know who's sitting in front of me, behind me, or beside me?
Well, you don't. I remember one time I was sitting in the, you know, like at the gate waiting to board.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some woman just sick as a dog, you could tell.
Ugh.
Over there coughing, sneezing, not giving an S either. And I told my wife, I'm like, guarantee you I am next to her.
I got that.
And I was right next to her.
You need like a plexiglass shield that you just carry with you that you can just put up.
I like this idea. This guy says they should just give everyone space helmets.
Yes.
Love that.
Throw one of those deep dive, those old school big metal diving helmets. Throw them on. You'll be fine. I feel bad because my dad has, he's got bad allergies. And for the last 2 or 3 years, hopefully it's dying off now because, you know, we're getting into the winter. But during the summer, he gets a really bad allergy, and he's got a reaction to it. He coughs, mm-hmm. and it's a really nasty sounding cough, and he can't really help it. It's, you know, he tries to control.
So everybody thinks he's got the COVID.
Yeah. So like all summer long, my dad's walking around and you just hear this, just, it's like, and you just look at him and you're like, oh boy, everyone just stares at him. Like everywhere you go, if you're out playing golf. And I'm just like, he doesn't have it, I promise. Swear, we're okay. But it is not the time to be the person that's got a cough. Or every time you sneeze in public, don't you just feel all eyes upon you?
Yeah, I did. When I flew, I was super sensitive to that. I sneezed once, and I was like, oh, no. Yeah, don't do it, don't do it. I sneezed and then accidentally farted.
I called it back.
God dang it.
Sorry.
Well, anyway, the other thing that airlines are touting, they believe, or they don't believe, they report, the International Air Transport Association announced that there have only been 44 cases this year in which COVID is believed to have been transmitted on an airplane.
Oh.
That's it.
That's great.
By comparison,
how do we know that?
1.2 billion travelers have flown on commercial flights worldwide in the same period. How do we know that? No idea.
Oh.
No idea how we know that.
But didn't it come here on airplanes?
Yeah, I just don't know how they could possibly know that.
Yeah, I thought it came here on
44,
airplanes.
And give me a break on the 44. If you want it believable, maybe say like...
like 400 or something, right?
Come 44.
Come up with a number.
My ass.
Well, you can't fly anyways. Everything's shutting down. We were trying to go to Japan. We're thinking about going to Japan over for Christmas. Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, I...
Japan
yeah.
has...
Move that.
Yeah, Japan has given everyone the middle finger and is saying, you're not allowed to come here.
I don't think we're allowed to really go anywhere.
No.
Are we? Who's letting us in? Is Canada letting us in?
No, Mexico is.
We can go to Mexico?
I got a buddy that just went to Mexico. I think in big touristy places where that's all they have, I think some of those are desperate and they're trying to get some people to come back. But
so they interview a scientist on here. He's an infectious disease expert, and he was saying, he goes, how can you cannot assume that only 44 travelers have been infected on flights when there is no data showing the other 1.2 billion flyers were tested or quarantined.
There you go. Science.
He's like, that's ridiculous.
Look, airlines need passengers, plain and simple. See, this guy says, hey, he's going to Mexico on the 12th. You want to go somewhere?
Well, I would say...
south of the border.
I will say this, having traveled a little bit, the flying part is not that bad. Everybody's masked up. You know what to do. You can even glove up if you want. I think it's fairly safe. Now, if you're going on vacation, though, what else are you doing? Are you staying in hotels? Are you around big groups of people? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's obvious. We all know what to do and what not to do.
Sure. Yeah, there's you're right. You're right.
But
there's
flying,
there's a difference between going to a place and getting an Airbnb and being with the same people versus going to a resort and going to the party downstairs.
Right. If you're going to go fly to a resort and isolate for 2 weeks, I think you should go. I think just be careful on the flight. But if you're going to go party at some EDM festival,
probably not the best idea.
Guessing you should. The flying part is not going to be the worst part. It's going to be the EDM festival.
You are correct. Someone saying, did you see the study by Anheuser-Busch that proved that their beer does not help you catch the coronavirus? That is a non-partisan study as well, so just go ahead and drink up.
Wait, their beer does not?
It does not!
Help
you catch the coronavirus, so drink up. I want all these companies now to come out with studies. This is the definitive study that says our product will not hurt you.
Well, I'll tell you what, this show, we should have a liner. I don't know why we don't. When you listen to this show, it has not been proven that you catch COVID.
No. As far as we know, not a single person has caught COVID
from listening to this show.
Exactly.
And we should tout that. You're
right. Damn right.
All right. I've got asteroid news coming up next. Maybe some Borat subsequent movie film talk.
I did finally see that.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Yeah, give me a one-word review.
It's fun.
This is fun.
It's fun.
All right, here's Mike with SportsCenter. All right, so you saw Borat subsequent movie film, huh?
Yeah, finally, I saw the end of it first. I came home and my kids were watching it, and then I actually sat down and watched the rest of it. It was fun.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same bit as before.
Yeah,
but
it's the same bit, but I didn't think it was tired or worn.
No, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, it was a funny film. It worked the first time, it worked this time. Again, I think it holds a mirror up to a lot of people that probably don't want to see how they look.
Did you like the fertility dance at the ball? I like that part.
Some of the absurd nature of that stuff is... He's willing to go places that not many people willing to go.
Okay, so I'm assuming most of you haven't seen it. So I would assume so.
I mean,
I'll describe one thing. So there are these QAnon guys, Jerry and Jim. And I think they're in Washington.
Were they in Washington?
Yeah, because that was the part where, remember we talked about it, where they go to the, the Trump rally or whatever it is, or maybe it's just some sort of festival, and he gets them to, the Wuhan, so they start chanting about the Wuhan flu.
Yeah.
So these guys are QAnon guys. Borat, in character, lives with them.
Yes.
He quarantines with them. He stays with them for like 3 nights. And they think it's real. And they're filming the whole thing. What was that?
I don't know.
And by the way, those guys were terrifying.
Yes, the weird, and it's just like this back, more terrifying than the fertility dance. You got
a lot of it was terrifying, but.
Yeah, the end of the, well.
I thought the QAnon guys, that was wild. That they just open their home. They're like, yeah, you can stay here.
Yeah, come on in.
But then they start spitting out their, like, they believe in, like, the Clinton child sex thing. And
it's right. I mean, it's like the wood cabin sort of. It's a.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Straight out of Central Casting, these guys.
And that's the amazing part. Like, when you watch, it was true about the first one and this one. You think that it's, like, you think it's just BS, right? You're like, clearly this is just this is not real. The people know that it's fake and these are actors. And you're like, no, it's real people.
And Borat has to, like, stay in character.
Yes. The entire time.
Because you know he didn't think he was going to be quarantining with these two dudes. So they're like, I mean, just fascinating. That can't be easy for him to do that.
No. Yeah,
and stay in character and be funny. And,
yeah, it's in Spokane.
Yeah, those guys were in Spokane.
Yeah, they were in Spokane.
The scary thing people fail to realize is that if Borat can do that for a film and all the different things that he does, like get Rudy Giuliani with his hand down his pants in a hotel room with a
15-year-old
girl.
Allegedly.
Can't can't foreign intelligence agents do the same?
Yeah, it is. It
you
is,
know, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, and he got the daughter into the White House and was meeting with.
That wasn't in the film, though.
No, but I guess that was a separate thing where he.
Yeah, he got her into the White House.
He got her into the White House.
That wasn't in.
No, I don't think that made the. That didn't make the final edit.
Well, so I don't know where that was.
I'm sure there was a ton of other footage that they weren't able to include.
The Giuliani scene was cringeworthy, but sensational.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much there was to that. It made him look like a fool. I just think it was weird that an old man was willing to go into a room with a supposed 15-year-old girl and have a drink. And I get that nothing happened.
Shirt tucking sure looks a lot different these days.
Yeah, I just find it weird that people are like, what, nothing happened? Well, you did agree to go into a hotel room to have a drink with a 15-year-old reporter.
And you lay down on the bed and put your hand down your pants.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little weird, huh? Yeah, a little weird.
Pretty predictable, though.
A little weird. I mean, it just goes to show you that there are, and that's his whole point in the movie, is there are... there's people out there that you wouldn't believe until you see it on film and you see their reaction and you're like, oh my God, this is real and this is happening. Would you see now that as a precautionary measure, Walmart is taking guns and ammo off of their shelf for the next little bit?
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, not that they can't go find guns and ammo somewhere else, but yeah. I like the stand.
Yeah, they're just, it's not like a permanent thing. They're just saying, well, you know, maybe we set the next couple plays out there. Maybe
well, they're losing business, you know, because again, if people are gunning up, which they are gunning up at an alarming rate,
yeah,
they're just going to do it somewhere else. So yeah. You're just giving away business. But I like that they're taking a stand against it.
Yeah, Big Five, or is it not Big Five? Was it Dick's? Dick's Sporting Goods? I saw a thing on HBO Real Sports a while back. I want to say, was it the Pulse nightclub? Or might have...
Pulse was in Florida.
Pulse was in Florida.
Orlando.
There's so many of them, I don't remember which one. One of the mass shootings, Sandy Hook or Pulse, I forget which one, but the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods said, enough's enough, and we are not going to sell assault rifles. And it was a... You know, they took a lot of flack for it, and it was a big moneymaker for him, and he just said no. He said, I'm not doing it.
No. Well, good for him.
Yeah. I mean, there are occasionally where someone does look at something and be like, yeah, bottom line, yeah, let's go ahead and do this.
I have asteroid news. From what I understand, John is not going to be a part of our broadcast tonight.
Yeah, do we know why?
He is ducking us.
He just texted, I will not be available tonight.
Yeah, he's always very secretive about that.
Yeah, he never says why.
No.
Makes you think something bad's happening.
Yeah, his wife's
I hope
probably,
he's okay.
His wife's probably pissed at him. He probably ate some garlic bread and fell down the steps. Did something he wasn't supposed to do. Who knows?
All right.
I think if it was something serious, I would assume I would have gotten a text message saying, hey, something serious has happened.
Well, you're going to have to move on without John.
How do we do that?
We're going to wrap it up with asteroid news.
Good. Just all right. Bring it on at this point.
There's an asteroid three times the size of a football field that is speeding up as it is heading towards Earth. So.
Perfect.
That's next on The Fan.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080, The Fan.
No, it's not.
No.
He is unavailable for us tonight. And that's okay, because he's often quite available for us.
Well, and we don't pay him anything, so
we don't even give him ham coupons anymore.
No.
So poor guy.
We really can't be upset with whatever it is that he's doing right now. Although the baseball season's over, he never goes anywhere. I'm not really sure what he could be doing, but I'm sure it's of great importance.
So researchers at the University of Hawaii Institute for Astronomy have found the Apophis asteroid. Mm. Named after the Egyptian god of chaos. And they have found that it has accelerated due to something known as Yarkovsky effect.
It's putting its foot on the gas pedal to just put us out of our misery.
It's speeding up.
Oh, wonderful.
Scientists claim the phenomenon increases the possibility that Apophis will make impact with Earth in the year 2068.
Oh, I got plenty of time. That's a problem for future me.
An event previously thought impossible.
So you said 68?
Yeah.
So I've got what, four? I'll be dead by then.
Will you be dead? Let's see.
I'll be like,
what year is this?
This would be 2020. That's 48 years off.
Okay.
Yeah.
48,
I'll be 90. I'll be dead. Whatever. Bring it on.
I hope to be alive, but...
Bring it. Do you really?
93, yeah. Probably won't be.
I don't want to be 93. I'm good. There's nothing that my body's going to be doing at 93 that I want to stick around for. I'll see what's happening after this. And if it's not, I won't know any different.
So the asteroid is being pushed around by sunlight. Sunlight. Yarkovsky acceleration comes into play when thermal radiation is no longer uniform, meaning some parts of the space rock heat up faster than others. But, I mean, who doesn't know that?
I mean, gosh. It's pretty simple, pretty basic. So is this like a global killer? Like if this hits us, do we go all dinosaur, like Kablooey sort of thing? Or
the astronomers will know whether the asteroid will hit Earth long before 2068. So we'll have time to prepare and hide. Okay.
Can you think about this, right? Look at what like a Katrina does to us, or when we have, you know, the COVID thing and just the threat of COVID and the chaos that caused. Imagine if you told us a year in advance, hey, everybody, just so you know, how big is this thing?
Three football fields.
Three football fields is coming at us at 22,000 miles an hour.
So, you know.
And it's going to hit us, and chances are it's going to destroy a good portion of the world. Can you imagine the S storm? It would almost be better off if you just didn't know. I truly believe that. Like, basic, like, fundamental, like, just everything would shut down.
Yeah.
Instantly, if the masses found out that this thing was coming.
Well, this is a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Yeah.
Because I'm dumb. You know, because it doesn't say in here what the impact would be.
Mm-hmm.
If you know long before 2068 if it's going to hit, like, they're like, oh, my God, it's happening. It's going to hit. And you have time to get ready. Can you? Like, can you avoid, you know?
No.
Like, do you know where it's going to hit? Do you know how big the impact is going to be? Therefore, you can...
I think you can make your best guesses, but it's a pretty big planet. I don't think we can just shimmy our way to the left.
Well, what if I just jump into the ocean?
I don't think that works.
Why not?
You know the one that killed all the dinosaurs? That did hit in the ocean.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Then I'll go up to the top of a mountain.
Hit off the Yucatan Peninsula. You know, that whole nuclear winter thing. Yeah, it's kind of a...
Well, fella...
it's been a hell of a run.
It has been a good little run.
But I'm serious. Like, if we can't handle anything as a society, and if you said that there was a global killer coming, I just cringe at what the lead up to that would be. You think we've got chaos in the streets now?
Yeah.
I just think it'd be like the Purge. Because then, you know,
what would you do? Go find your Mormon buddies.
Well, no, like, honestly, like, have you seen The Purge? I think it'd be like that. Think of all the gun nuts that you have. You'd have gun nuts survivalists. You'd have the religious zealots that would be like, this is God's punishment. They'd be looking to blame someone.
That's fine, but, like, what practically are they going to, like, who cares if you've... If you got a gun, what's that going to do? What, are you going to shoot the asteroid?
No, you're going to shoot your neighbor. And I just think that you would have absolute overnight chaos, a breakdown of police, fire, all that stuff would overnight just systematically shut down.
All right, well, I guess I'd just go to a casino, try to win some money before I go.
But this is the scary part. If they said, hey, this is coming, and... You know, you're not hiding from it. And again, I don't know if this thing is big enough to, again, wipe out a good portion of the Earth. But if it is one of these where they're like, hey, buckle up. Life as you know it is over. And everything changes for everyone on the planet. I think you would have mass hysteria. So, like, you're at the casino and you win, $500. No, Jim from Richfield with one tooth in his shotgun, he just won $1,500 because he's going to shoot you in the leg and take it.
You don't have to shoot me. I'll give it to him. We're all dying anyway. Come on, Jim.
No way. I guess you go pick out a spot on a mountain somewhere and wait for it, right? Is the Mount St. Helens guy? It's like, I was born here and I'll die here.
Well, this is where booze would be. You know, I just, you know, just get drunk.
Yeah, I guess. Is that really going to help?
Well, nothing's going to help. It's just...
But imagine,
get drunk.
It's like, it's the same thing as if you got like a terminal diagnosis, what would you do? The problem with that is it's not you. Like, if you get diagnosed with cancer and they say, hey, you're going to die, you got 6 months to live, this is the entire world saying, hey, you just got 6 months to live. No one would, there'd be no incentive to do anything. That's where I said you would have just mass chaos, riots in the streets, and like real freaky Aztec, Mayan, Christianity, end of the world, God, devil. What do they say in Armageddon? What is it? Billy Bob Thornton called the worst parts of the Bible. There you go. Worst parts of the Bible.
But I don't need to participate in that.
You're just checking out. You're renting a house. But that's my point, is you don't have a choice.
Sure I do. I'm not shooting anyone. I'm watching Netflix, man.
I don't think Netflix is the thing at that point, my man.
There's stuff on there. Archive stuff on there I can pull up. Just watch a couple movies. Get drunk.
Hunker in. Eat some beans.
Yeah. Maybe order a pizza.
Yeah. There's a perfect time for shrooms. There you go.
Oh, totally. Any drugs. You know, I have a
all
weed.
The drugs.
I have a weed shop across the street from my house. I'd go over there and just get, yes, all of it. Give me all of it. How much do you want? All of it.
All the drugs. Give me.
Although that'd probably be looted and stolen all by then.
Pretty much. Yeah. We're all going to party like it's 2068. You're damn right. It says if that asteroid's on its way, for sure I'm taking off this stupid mask.
Let's party. See, I do think there would be two sets of people. There would be the people like you're talking about that you're fearful of. And then there'd be the people like me who are all just getting together like, well, this is it. Let's do this. Cheers. And everybody just starts humping and drinking and laughing and telling great jokes. And
you got Sodom and Gomorrah going on at the Rob house.
You know.
I go over to Rob's house and he's just naked, but there's a bird mask on. You're like, damn it!
On your knees, Sook. All right, well, there's asteroid news.
Thought of you on your knees is a wonderful one.
Thanks, everybody. I don't know who I'm thanking. Thanks to all of you.
Yeah, someone.
I don't know. Thanks
not
to
John.
Mike. Not John, for sure. Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
And thank you.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec is coming up next. We are back tomorrow with a big Friday show. Joey Harrington will be a part of it. So make sure you tune in 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red ships of Spain. Red ships of Spain.
There's I, you do that at 12.
So Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season. Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.